It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
Okay, welcome in. Patrick Johnson with you here. We're getting you ready for Pirate Baseball coming up this evening as the 11th-ranked East Carolina baseball team will take on UNCW in Wilmington. And the Pirates and Seahawks renewing their rivalry. We'll have coverage for you beginning at quarter till six, so a shortened edition of the PJ Show today. But we got a lot of action to jam-pack into things. ACC tournament is underway, not in Greensboro, not in Charlotte, but in the nation's capital. And already Notre Dame has advanced, knocking off Georgia Tech, who actually rallied and took a late lead. And it'll be Notre Dame advancing after out of round one, and they'll now play on the second day of the event, Wake Forest. NC State is playing Louisville right now in Washington, and at last check, the Wolfpack were trailing Louisville. That may have changed, though, because we got connected here and are on the air as we're coming to you from the Working Man's Beach today. Patrick Johnson here with you. We've got news about summer baseball and Parker Byrd. We've got a local coach going into a National Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Kim McNeil's team. All they're doing right now when it comes to the Dickies Arena in Fort Worth is win. They've reeled off another victory, five in a row now in the tournament, as they have advanced to the semifinal round tonight of the Women's AAC Tournament. And the defending tournament champs will take on the fourth seed UTSA tonight at 7. So all of that we got to get to, plus more. But we start with a big story in the last 24 hours and a guy who's covered it from the jump from WRAL Sports. He's an investigative sports reporter for them. Brian Murphy joins us here once again on the Patrick Johnson Show. Brian, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Sports gambling's launched, so my life has slowed down a little bit.
Hey, have things, relatively speaking, gone off without a hitch in day one of this? Yesterday it launched at noon, of course.
Yeah, I spoke with as many operators as I could, the lottery commission, and it seems like all eight operators got off yesterday as they were expected to. They launched live. There's been a lot of logins already. I've seen some data on that. We'll have some more complete data on Wednesday, it sounds like. And it seems like I've heard very little in the way of complaints or problems so far.
Well, that's very good. Any numbers on a preliminary sense that you've heard from any of the eight providers?
I haven't. And I was told that they're unlikely to release lots of numbers about like how many people logged in or how many people signed up or things like that. We will get some of that data from third parties. We did get some sort of fun data, if you call it that, from BetMGM, who said the first bet that they took was placed on North Carolina to win the NCAA tournament at 18-1. It was a $100 bet. They also said that almost 50% of people who bet on the NCAA tournament, those are obviously future bets at this point, took North Carolina. So not one of the heavy favorites in Connecticut or Houston or even Purdue, but North Carolina is getting the lion's share of the bets from people in North Carolina. Just kind of what you'd expect. A little unexpected, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the most bet team in North Carolina to win the Super Bowl with the Chiefs and Eagles right behind them.
It's the Russell Wilson effect. That's what it is there. The 1 year deal by Russell Wilson. So now Steelers country, let's ride for Russ. Interesting stuff there. I know at the launch of this and kind of the ramp up late last week, there were some of the analysts and legal experts, or not legal experts, but analysts who follow the industry and experts who follow the industry who believe that the numbers that were projected are actually going to be greater as far as the money that'll be brought in. What are you hearing on that?
Yeah, almost every single person I've spoken to believes that the estimates that the legislature was working with are going to be low. North Carolina is one of the larger states to do this. Obviously, New York and New Jersey, Pennsylvania already have it. But if you think about it, California, Texas, Florida, Georgia, they do not have this. And so I've been often using Virginia as the comparison, but almost everyone I talk to thinks North Carolina is going to be perhaps a larger market than Virginia, just given the a number of college teams, the fact that we do have pro teams here. Virginia doesn't technically have any pro teams, although they consider the DC teams their teams. But mm-hmm. I think we're going to, you know, given the timing of it, the fact that it's right before March Madness, I think will help. And also, you know, North Carolina is kind of late to the game. They're 30th in the country to do mobile sports betting. So I think a lot of people have experienced this. If you've gone to another state, or if you moved here from another state, it's possible that you already have an account. You're already familiar with this because we're a little late to the game. I think most people know what it's all about and are, if not interested in doing it, at least willing to maybe dabble in it.
And you've maybe driven across a border to place a bet and then driven back as well. Brian Murphy, investigative reporter from WREL Sports Fan, joins us here. Hey, let me ask you a little bit about you know, you mentioned some of the incentives that the different providers are putting out. Are there any particular juicy incentives out there? Are they pretty standard and status quo of what you would get with an app launching for the first time?
Yeah, I think they're pretty standard. One of the interesting things that's been happening, you know, they have the sign-up bonuses, which I think everyone's pretty familiar with at this point. But also once it launched, they've been giving away a lot of, quote, free money. Like last night, for example, both FanDuel and DraftKings ran a promotion where if the Hornets scored at least 1 point in their game, you would win your bet. So you could bet up to $50 and you would win. It was even odds, so you won $50. If you took that bet, the Hornets to score a single point. Tonight, both FanDuel and DraftKings are doing very similar promotions. One is doing Louisville and NC State to combine for at least 1 point, and one is doing the Hurricanes and the Rangers to have at least one shot on goal. Obviously, I mean, you know, a lot of people have compared this to a drug dealer in some ways, to trying to get you hooked on the product, But clearly, they're trying to get you to, okay, you've signed up, but now I want you to use the product. I want you to come back every day and see what kind of specials we're giving away. And so, at least for the first couple of days, several of them have been, you know, basically handing away money.
This will be a very popular season, it would seem, in this state, as you noted with what BetMGM released with the amount of bets placed on North Carolina to win the whole thing, as far as the NCAA tournament goes. But with ACC Tournament Week, granted it's in Washington, D.C., but still it's captures the attention of a lot of folks in the state. You've got other conference tournaments involving teams from the state. And then you've got the NCAA tournament, which is the biggest college sporting event every year. After this and then maybe the Masters, do you expect things to kind of hit a little bit of a summer lull? Or is the anticipation that football betting will go ahead and start to commence in a way, you know, once we get past, say, April?
Yeah, I was told that there are two and a half major events in the calendar for the operators. One is March Madness. Two is the beginning of football season. And then three is the Super Bowl, which obviously more money is bet on that than all the rest. However, you know, there's a lull after the Super Bowl. So that they kind of see these ramp up periods as before the NCAA tournament and before football season. And that's when they'll offer their best promotions. That's when they'll offer some of these free bets, because that's when they know they're going to have the most people coming to their sites and wanting to bet. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the summer. As you mentioned, you know, golf has become a thing that lots of people like to bet on. There's also the NFL draft, which North Carolina will allow people to bet on the draft. Mm-hmm. You know, baseball, we'll see how like live in-game betting works. But you also have, you know, the U.S. Open is in North Carolina, the golf tournament, and then the Olympics. It'll be interesting to see if those are events that move the needle when it comes to gambling. I would expect we'll see another big advertising blitz and ramp up right before football season in August, late August.
Yeah, gotcha. Got Brian Murphy here. Last thing for you as it pertains to a totally different matter, and that's the ACC and Florida State. We were just talking before we went on, and unbeknownst to me, I guess there was some more litigation filed, or something was filed in a court in Tallahassee today.
Yeah, there are briefs being filed in these cases. There's two cases happening at the same time, one in Mecklenburg County, Charlotte, one down there in Tallahassee. And, you know, the plaintiffs and the defendants are reversed in each of those cases. But they keep filing litigation. I saw, or not litigation, but more briefs, more requests for information today. Among the things that Florida State was requesting was any correspondence that the ACC had with the College Football Playoff Committee about Florida State's exclusion from the 2023 playoff. I don't imagine the ACC has any correspondence about that, but it's always interesting to see what these lawsuits turn up. One of the big dates to keep in mind, if you're following this at all, is March 22nd. That's when there'll be the first real hearing in the case in Mecklenburg County in Charlotte. And I don't know exactly what will come out of that, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the lawyers argue about in that first hearing.
And it'll be interesting because, as you said before we went on, that's when Charlotte is hosting the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. They'll obviously, odds are North Carolina will be there. And so there'll be plenty of media, including
you. The right. The Charlotte regional is Thursday, Saturday, and the trial, or at least the first motion hearing, is on Friday. So that'll be an off day. It'll be people who aren't covering basketball that day. I imagine that will be a packed courthouse.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Brian, great to talk to you again. I bet we'll talk to you again. How about, see what I did there? I bet we'll talk to you again. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time as always.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Awesome to have Brian Murphy on with us here. Sports gambling has become legal in the state of North Carolina. All right. We're getting you ready for Pirate Baseball. We're a little more than a half hour away from getting you to Brooks Field in Wilmy World as the Pirates and Seahawks meet. We're taking a timeout, and when we come back, we'll do a Pirate Report for you as ECU basketball gets ready to start. In fact, we're less than 24 hours away from the Pirates. Actually, less than 48 hours away, my mistake, from the Pirates getting ready to begin their play in the American Athletic Conference Tournament. They'll take on Tulsa Thursday afternoon. All right, we'll be right back right after this.
And now, Patrick Johnson with today's Pirate Report on the flagship station of the ECU Pirates, 94.3 The Game.
Hey, Pilk, do we have a... any kind of line yet on ECU Tulsa Thursday?
I will look at it to see if I can find anything.
Okay. By the way, Pilk, is wearing the 94.3 The Game company issued T-shirt akin to being a member of the band and or going to the concert and wearing the band's T-shirt?
No, that's totally different. You work here. Okay. I'm wearing the IBX Media golf shirt right now, so we're good.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. You know, I didn't want to... Yeah. All right. Pirate Report time. ECU will take on Tulsa at 12:30 on Thursday. And this is Coach Swartz meeting with the media today before the team left to go to Fort Worth for the conference tournament. And the matchup with the Golden Hurricane. Here's Coach Swartz's opening statement.
Great time of year, obviously, conference tournaments, and been a difficult 2 weeks, some disappointing in terms of results-wise. Been a challenge for us the last couple weeks, particularly the last two games, and going to be a great test for us to go play a very good Tulsa team that I think is playing very good basketball right now, coming off of, obviously, an impressive win versus South Florida.
And asked what needs to happen to be successful on Thursday. This is what Coach said.
Well, you know, you have to have that refresh mindset. You know, we're battling 2 weeks of obviously been some challenging road trip, that Texas swing, then a very difficult loss in overtime at SMU, and then coming home. And, you know, we've played solid basketball over the last two games, and at times some of the best basketball we've played late in the season. It's just about a reset mindset, and sometimes that's easier said than done, but I think our guys have been great in practice the last 2 days, coming off of obviously a really, you know, frustrating loss in terms of versus Charlotte on Saturday. And, you know, we got to go out there and we got to get back to doing what we were doing well when we were playing good basketball.
And this is what Coach Swartz says they have to be concerned about when it comes to the backcourt for the Golden Hurricane. Let's face it, the Charlotte backcourt And really, during this two-week period, Coach is mentioning there, by and large, the backcourts have outplayed the Pirate guards. This is Mike Swartz on Tulsa's backcourt.
A great amount, because I think it's as productive and as talented a backcourt as yours in this conference in terms of just everything. I mean, the way they play, get the free throw line, shoot the basketball, score the basketball. So, yeah, it's a huge concern, particularly because you look at the Charlotte game and their backcourt really hurt us. They had 47 points between their starting backcourt in the game on Saturday. So, yeah, it's a great challenge for us against what is one of the best backcourts, if not the best backcourt in the conference.
He talks about tournament basketball and it being exciting, and you just have to take things one game at a time this time of year.
I think tournament basketball is always exciting. I think, you know, if you probably ask the guys, they probably would love to play games every day as opposed to being in practice every day and then, you know, more. But that all being said, I think you got to approach it one game at a time. I'm not even thinking about anything beyond us getting on a plane today, traveling there. We got to, you know, still don't play until Thursday. So in terms of our preparation, as we continue to prepare again for what I think is a really good Tulsa team.
And how the Pirates will have to go about limiting the sensational player for Tulsa, P.J. Haggerty, the way the Pirates did in the first meeting.
You can definitely emphasize that you have to. I mean, he's number two in the country getting to the free throw line in terms of that free throw rate and his numbers. And the other guy happens to be 7 feet three or 7 feet four, whatever Zach Edey is. So this is an elite guard that gets to the free throw line as good as any player in the entire country. So you have to emphasize it. We'd be silly if we didn't. Now, does that equate to the same execution and the fortune that we had in the first game? You know, we'll see. But of course, we talk because that's a huge piece of how he scores and how Tulsa does what they do on offense.
All right. And Coach was asked what seemed to start to click for Sear Malanga.
I think it's a progress thing. I think we've seen it in Sear all year. It's not that there was – the moment was going to happen when he made the moment happen, and I think we all know it was the SMU game. He made that happen. You know, we've all been pushing him towards that, and he's been – more importantly, he's been working towards that. It just doesn't happen as quick as I know everybody wants things to happen. He's a freshman, and, you know, P.J. Haggerty is a dynamic freshman. He's someone that was at TCU last year. He sat out. So, you know, he's a freshman playing eligibility-wise, but he had a year in college. It's very rare for true freshmen where a year ago today they were in high school games to just step right in and in November and December hit the ground running and have that kind of impact. I think he's made a lot of real impactful moments every day in practice, every in games. But I think in the SMU game, I think it finally clicked in his own head what potentially he's capable to do when he's consistent. And it'll still be a struggle. He's still young, obviously. The Charlotte game wasn't as good as the SMU game for him, obviously. But I think he has really earned this opportunity with the way he's worked.
And Coach, on how important it is to have depth when you got to play multiple days in a row potentially.
Huge. I think it's always important. We've not been a team that has had incredible production depth all year in terms of in the stat sheet. So I think it's even tenfold now when you go into a tournament, you know, if you're fortunate enough to play beyond the first day. But it doesn't matter. On the first day, if we think back to last year, I think Dave Kasanga and I are walk-on. Had his career high in the South Florida game when we won that first round game. And I don't think anybody would have walked into that game and predicted that. So no different than Tulsa, no different than the other teams in this league. You go all hands on deck, a reset mindset. Everybody's got a fresh start. Guys that maybe didn't play will play. This is tournament basketball. That's what makes it so fun this time of year.
And Coach Swartz on creating energy in an arena that, let's face it, is not going to have a lot of fans in it.
The guys just got to be excited to play. Yeah, I mean, what the crowds are is what the crowds are going to be. And, you know, you just got to be excited to have a chance to compete. Because right now, what we talked about, every game is a game seven in terms of the NBA Finals. And the guys resonate with that because they watch in the NBA playoffs and stuff. Every game's a game seven. You know, if you win, you have a chance to play. Keep playing. If you don't, you know, your season is going to come to an end.
And then if you want to see the entire video of Coach Swartz, you can go to our social media. We've got it up via our YouTube page, but you can also access it through X and Facebook. Patrick Johnson here with you. It's the Patrick Johnson Show. We're getting ready for Pirate Baseball coming up today. at 6 o'clock as we are live with you here on this Tuesday afternoon. Gorgeous day, really beautiful, and part of a really lovely week that we're having here in Eastern Carolina. Couple other notes. Let's start with the men's basketball news that came out of today. R.J. Felton was named to the All-AAC third team. He was preseason second team. 17 points a game. A great rebounding guard. Was one of the top steals guys in the American. And he shot over 80% at the line. So, you know, for me, Pilk, to me, I think he should have been a little higher. He was pretty close to being on the second team, kind of how they list him, and I think they do that by the vote. But, you know, just kind of tough to crack. I think if East Carolina had had a season like they were predicted to have, or more along the lines of not finishing where they did in the eighth spot, I think you probably would have seen, you know, RJ be a second team guy. What do you think?
I agree. And, you know, it's kind of backwards that it's that way. You would think a guy on a team struggling, it'd be that much more impressive that he has such good numbers because he doesn't have as much help. But unfortunately, like you said, a lot of times the team record at the end of the year affects where a guy ends up, and that's not how it should be at all.
Also out of the American, co-players of the year, Chris Youngblood, the senior from South Florida, I believe he was one of the transfers from Kennesaw, and then Florida Atlantic's John L. Davis. Amir Abdur-Rahim from South Florida was the coach of the year, no surprise there. Yaxel Lindenborg, UAB, was the defensive player of the year. Haggerty, the freshman of the year, we talked about him a moment ago. Most improved, Selton Miguel from South Florida, the sixth man, also Miguel for USF. Sion James of Tulane, the sportsmanship winner yet again. Lindenborg, Davis, Jones, Edwards, Youngblood are your first team members. David Jones from Memphis. Patterson, who I just think sensational, the great guard from Charlotte. That is a second team designation for him. Golden, Martin, Miguel, and Phelps, Zurich Phelps from SMU. And let's see, what else do we have? Milicic, Felton, Javon Quinter, Quinterly, Kevin Cross, and then Haggerty were members of the all-third team. So tough deal there for RJ. Always Anonymous text line says RJ will not be back next year. That's a possibility, but I think with his brother coming, that is a big thing that's going to play heavy on RJ's decision if he will or will not return, and I've not heard anything that indicates that he would necessarily leave. But again, you know, you don't know what kind of money he's going to get. But yeah, you look at what Tristan Newton's done, it's got to be very appealing to entertain offers. But we will see. I think with his brother coming in, that that maybe limits that possibility. The ECU women's team took down Tulsa yesterday, 75-71. Pilk, did you have anything from that yesterday? I'm sure you got the score on late. I was tied up with some things at the coach's show before we went on. So I usually have a chance to listen to you, but not yesterday. So, but Danae McNeil with 29, 5 rebounds, 10 steals, which is a tournament record, I believe. 3 blocks, double-double for my Joyner, and the Pirates knock off the top seed Tulsa. So that's 5 wins in a row now in the American Athletic Conference tournament for East Carolina. They will go for a 6th win tonight in the event, and try to get back into the finals tomorrow. That'll be a 7 o'clock tip tonight, and you can watch that on ESPN Plus. Always Anonymous text line asking me, is today's game on ESPN Plus? I'm assuming the baseball game. No, it's not, but we will have it for you here on 94.3 The Game, with the pregame starting in about 17, 18 minutes from right now. A couple of other notes I wanted to make mention of. Pilk, I don't know if I'm stepping on some of your stuff. I think we could just take a break. You come back with the update, then we'll come back with the stunning conclusion, if that makes sense. Let's see here. Andre Powell hired as the special teams coordinator for the Pirates. The great Ronald Vincent has been named to be inducted to the National High School Hall of Fame. over 1,000 wins, 7 state titles, including the most recent one in 2021. RV started coaching Rose, his alma mater, back in 73. Let's see here. What do you make of the Brian Burns decision? I got an interesting thing that our friend Courtney Layton put up today. I want to get your take on what went down there exactly.
Well, just over a year ago, you were offered 2 firsts and a second from the Rams, and now you give you get a second and a fifth. It's terrible. Everything David Tepper touches turns to doggy doo doo and
caca.
Yeah, yes. I mean, they let Frankie Louvu walk, traded Brian Burns, and the list just keeps going on.
So get this.
I'm done.
This from our friend Courtney Layton, and I think she retweeted it or something. The Carolina Panthers traded Caleb Williams, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, 2023 top 10 pick, 2023 second round pick, 24 first round pick, 25 first round pick, in exchange for Bryce Young, 1 year of Brian Burns, DJ Johnson, and 5 second round picks. Tell me where the lie is in that, Pilk.
The lie is the fact that we are not able to fire David Tepper. As fans, we should be allowed to. There should be a petition, and Roger Goodell should honor our petition.
And then announced today, and I think this is kind of interesting, and I'm happy for Parker Byrd, the what are they, the squirrel nuts or whatever the hell they are there in Newburgh, the Southpaws, aren't they?
The Southpaws. I'm confused. Patrick, he's right-handed. How's he playing for the Southpaws?
I know.
I guess they got to have a third baseman and a shortstop, but I think everybody should have to be left-handed on that team.
That would be kind of a neat thing if everybody were. But that is what is happening. Parker Byrd to the Southpaws, playing in the I don't even know the Old North State League, I think, is that league. I don't know.
There's correct. So many of these. Yeah, it's the Old North State League, the ONSL. Yeah.
ONSL. Well, there you go. ONSL excitement. Catch it. All right. Tell you what, Pilk, so I don't step on any of your headlines here, since we just went over most of them. Let's hit a break, and when we come back, we'll come in with your update, and then we'll do stunning conclusion. How does that sound, Pilk?
Sounds good.
A little programming adjustment. A little adjustment to the formatics of the program. Pilk will also let you know what NC State's doing in the ACC tournament, so stay tuned.
Philip Pilkington here with your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. The women's basketball team will be in the semifinals of the American Athletic Conference Tournament tonight at 7 o'clock against the 4th-seeded UTSA Roadrunners. Coach Kim McNeil's team is 3.5-point favorites in this contest, and she explained yesterday why this team just seems to be different come conference tournament time.
I think going in, anybody felt like they had a chance to win this, but, you know, we do have the experience. I do feel like, you know, one thing that we do well is rebound and defend. And when you're in tournament play, you need to defend and rebound. That travels. Defense travels, rebounding travels. And so that's what we've been harping on, is defending and rebounding the ball and sharing it on the offensive end of the floor.
This is the first time since 1999 and 2000 the Pirates have made it to back-to-back semifinal appearances in the conference tournament. The baseball team will put their 3-game win streak on the line tonight when they travel down to Wilmington to take on the Seahawks. That game can be heard right here on 94.3 The Game. We are 10.5 minutes away from network coverage for that just after 6 o'clock first pitch. It was announced today that Parker Byrd will play for the Newbern Southpaws in a summer college baseball league, the ONSL. RJ Felton was named to the American Athletic All-Conference third team earlier today, and right now there is one Pirate Athletic event going on, is the lacrosse team is in Chapel Hill taking on the 9th-ranked Tar Heels. North Carolina leads this one 7-2 as they just began the second quarter. Earlier today in the ACC tournament, Notre Dame held off a late push from Georgia Tech to win the first game of the week with a final score of 84-80. And right now, it's halftime in Game 2. The 15th-seeded Louisville Cardinals are up 46-45 on the 10-seed NC State Wolfpack. All-pro running back Derrick Henry has signed a 2-year deal with the Ravens worth $16 million. That'll do it for your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. And now, it will be time to wrap up the Patrick Johnson Show.
And now, the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
All right, thank you, Pilk. Boy, Ravens. Stacked.
Hey, man, they've got Thunder with Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
And they got Lightning with Keaton Mitchell.
Yep, sure do. All right, we're going to get you out to the Port City coming up in about 6 minutes, a little less than that, a little bit more like 9 minutes. We'll be wrapping up the show in about 6 minutes here as we get ready for the first go-around of this season between East Carolina and UNCW. Brooks Field, the venue, 6 o'clock. Pirates are 10-4. Game, of course, will be heard on 94.3 The Game with Scooter and Coach O. Pirates are looking to capture their first midweek win of the campaign after dropping a tight one-run decision. A couple of them, in fact, one at Campbell and one at Old Dominion. East Carolina owns the best ERA in the AAC at 3.66, 170 strikeouts as a staff, to just 54 walks through 125 and a third innings. Pirates have also played clean brand of ball through 14 games, leading the nation in fielding percentage. Carter Cunningham is 17th in the NCAA in hitting, a .489 batting average while pacing the league in batting, slugging percentage, OPS, runs scored, and hits. It'll be Chris Kaler going to the mound. No record with .386 ERA and 7 innings so far worked this year against the left-hander for UNCW, 0-2. Kyle Felon, who has got a 7.59 ERA, and he has worked 10 2/3. Seahawks are 9-7. They swept St. Joe's over the weekend. Did so on Sunday with a rally. Trevor Marsh is their top hitter at .396. Tanner Thatch is batting .310 and is their top home run guy. A lot of these names familiar, of course. 7 home runs, 21 runs driven in. Seahawks are batting .238 collectively. 21 doubles as a squad, 2 triples, 18 home runs, 81 walks drawn, 18 stolen bases. Their pitching staff sports a .385 Ernie with 156 strikeouts, 84 walks, 145 innings. ECU has played 12 home games so far. UNCW has played 12 home games so far, and they're 8-4 in those contests. This series tonight, it is led by the Pirates 82-64. So the 147th meeting tonight, Seahawks swept the series last year, beating the Pirates 8-5 in Wilmington, 9-3 in Greenville. ECU won both of the matchups in 2022, a 3-1 victory at Brooks Field, and then winning 8-2. At Clark LeClair Stadium. So there you go. That's the lay of the land tonight as Cliff Godwin leads the Pirates into a battle, a place where he got his first collegiate coaching job on staff at UNCW, and, of course, a place that he's very familiar with as a player with the Pirates, playing a couple of series there during his time in uniform for the Pirates. So that is where we are. Pilk, did we get the NC State score? Do we know what's going on there with them tonight?
Cardinals are up 46-45 at halftime. So high scoring game, yeah. Back-to-back high scoring game. Should have parlayed the over in the early two. What was I thinking? Darn it.
You can do that now. The lineup is out for the game tonight. It'll be Riley Johnson and Carter Cunningham at the top. Jacob Jenkins Coward in right. Jacob Starling's batting cleanup tonight. And then Will Coxon, the catcher, will bat fifth for the Pirates. Joey Barini is in at shortstop. So I'm guessing that period of time that he had off last week allowed him with his wrist to kind of heal that up a little. Barini, who was not going to play in the games last week had they gone on and not been rained out with VCU, but was scheduled to play this past weekend as he did against Liberty, is in the lineup tonight. Bristol Carter's in left, batting seventh, and then McChrystal's the DH tonight, and then Dixon Williams, who is hitting the ball at people, it seems like, at third base. He's played very clean defensively there, bats ninth, and then Kaler, as we mentioned, will be getting the start on the hill tonight. Congrats to RJ Felton. I'm proud of RJ for getting third team all conference. Felt like he deserved second team. I mean, he was awesome for the Pirates this year, and Look, I hope East Carolina can maybe hit the reset button. It'd be nice to pick up a win or two out in the conference tournament. And, you know, you just get that first one and you just don't know what kind of run you can get on. I mean, I think the women for ECU have proved that. They've won two close games. But, hey, they're on to the semifinal and have a chance to get back to the finals for back-to-back seasons. So they'll play tonight from Fort Worth on ESPN Plus at 7 o'clock. So you can have dual screens going tonight. Thanks to Brian Murphy from WRAL Sports, investigative sports reporter, for being on with us. Thanks to Philip the Ref Pilkington. Brian Mull tomorrow. We'll talk some golf with the players coming up this weekend. We'll also talk college basketball and the NCAA tournament coming up. And we'll be having that for you tomorrow. Pilk, great job tonight. And we'll see everybody in the morning on Talk of the Town. And back here, 5 o'clock for the Patrick Johnson Show with a recap of ECU and UNCW.
Have a choice when you invest in insurance, and when you choose First State Insurance Advisors, you're working with people you can trust. Clark Stallings has deep ties in the community.